Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Now, here's Justin.
Well, thank you, Brother Dearman. Yes, this is Reading the Word. I am Justin Reed. So glad to have you along with us as this makes our eighth program. What we're doing is we're continuing to examine the book of Psalms, specifically the 119th Psalm and all of the beauties that are in it. Now, we know it is a big psalm, and so we're not going to try to tackle it all in one lesson. In fact, we're studying it in eight verse sections. And we're doing that because that's the way it was broken up for us, because every eight verses in Psalm 119 begin with a specific letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and it kind of goes in succession. It's what we call an acrostic. And so we find ourselves here in the Teth section, which is number 9. That's where we left off last week. We just did not have time. All we have to examine in this section is verse 72, and then we will progress to the Jod section. So Psalm 119 and verse 72, reading from the King James Version, the Word of God says, "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." Now, as we've discussed, we do not know who the author of Psalm 119 is. Some think it's David, depending on what day of the week it is and what I've just read. I might could argue it's David, and then you ask me again tomorrow, and then I may not tell you it's David. The Bible doesn't tell us, but if it was David, we know David was wealthy as king. We know the problem of Balaam that he had. Of course, we're familiar with the story of him and the donkey back in the book of Numbers. But the real problem that Balaam had was he loved money. I think about Gehazi, the assistant. He was covetous, and because of that, he was stricken with leprosy after it was removed from Naaman. So regardless, the psalmist says, "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." Let's continue our examination as we journey into the 10th section of Psalm 119. It is the Hebrew letter Jod. We'll be reading verses 73 through 80. "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to the word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have not, that have thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed." Now, as we look at the Hebrew letter of Jod, of course, my name is Justin, and it starts with the 10th letter of our alphabet, which is J. The 10th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, it starts with the letter J. It's close to it. Jod is honestly, though, the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Now, if you're reading from the New Testament, when you're studying that, Jesus Christ says in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18, he says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Now, in the New Testament, it's jot with a J, O, and a T. In Greek, that is. In Hebrew, it's J-O-D. We sometimes like to think of that as being the dot over a lowercase I or a lowercase J. I've heard it described as that. I've also heard it described as if you're writing with maybe a very expensive ink pen, maybe one of the old-style fountain pens, and as you would move from letter to letter, you may have a little bit of ink that travels with you, even though that's not part of the movement you're making. That could also be that. So Jesus says, until heaven and earth shall pass away, but one small part of the word will not pass away till it is all fulfilled. Let's examine the Jod section. Verse 73, when he says, "Thy hands have made and fashioned me." If you want a great commentary on this, which we do not have time to examine in our Bible study this week here, because it would take up probably 4 weeks' worth to really go in depth, couple this with Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, where God literally spoke everything into being, and he created the heavens and the earth, six literal 24-hour days, and he rested there on the seventh. Here the psalmist says, God has made him. Verse 74, I'll give you a great formula. Ready for it? It's not mine, it's the Bible's. "They that fear thee, they'll be glad when they see me." Why? "Because I have hoped in thy word." The great formula is having great friendship with those that fear God. I think about verse 75, talking about thou and faithfulness hast afflicted me. Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9 that he had a thorn in the flesh, and three times he prayed to God that that thorn might be removed. And he doesn't specify what his thorn is. Some have thought that he maybe has bad eyesight. We might could see that. The name Paul means short, so he could have been a smaller in stature man. That may have been his problem. He may have had stomach issues. We don't know. But regardless, it was not removed from him, so he would learn to trust in God. Here the psalmist says, thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me. That's what happened to Job. God in his faithfulness also afflicted Job. Now, through the rest of this section, 76, 7, 78, 79, and verse 80 of this psalm all begin with let us, or at least let. In the New Testament, I'm reminded of the Hebrew epistle, Hebrews chapter 4. There are five verses in Hebrews chapter 4 that also begin with let. Watch this. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Let us. Verse 11. I told you five, it's four, I'm human. Verse 11, let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, that any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Verse 14, seeing then we have a high priest that is passed in the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in the time of need. Here in verse 76, we see comfort comes only from the Word of God. He says, I sought comfort according to thy word. Verse 78, we see the proud people, they are wicked people. And verse 80, we see the psalmist makes a very noble request. Let my heart be sound in my statutes, that I may not be ashamed. Proverbs 4:23, Solomon says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Also Matthew chapter 12, in verse 33 and 34, Jesus says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And then finally, Paul says in Philippians 4 and verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. The psalmist wanted the word of God put in his heart, that he may not be ashamed, and we would do well to mimic that. We're going to take us a quick break. Information about the Wood Church of Christ, where I am the minister. Love to have you come visit coming up, and then we'll be back and we will examine the calf section of Psalm 119.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Thank you, Brother Dearman. We are back as we're continuing our examination of Psalm 119. Justin Reed is my name, and I am the minister here for the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. And we're back. Thank you for joining us, sticking around for Reading the Word. My name is Justin Reed. So glad to have you along with us. Let's grab our Bibles now, and let's read the calf section of Psalm 119, that's found in verses 81 through 88. Psalm 119, verses 81 through 88. The psalmist says, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. For they had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so I shall keep the testimony of thy mouth. As we're looking at the calf section, it looks like a K or a hard E, if you know what that symbol looks like in the English alphabet. Here we see, if I had to sum it up, this section, I would take it from verse 86, the last three words of that, where he says, help thou me. Let's look at verse 81. My soul fainteth for salvation, but I hope in the Lord, or in thy word. You know, it is impossible for God to lie. Now, everybody else lies from time to time. Sometimes people do it on purpose. Sometimes they rely on information which they do not know as a lie. They believe it to be true. But nonetheless, everybody lies except for God. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 6, 18 through 20, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. It is impossible for God to lie. Verse 82, the psalmist says, my eyes are failing me. Eyes long fixed on a coveted goal. They've become weary. They've become exhausted. He is weary running the race, living the life that he knows God will find pleasing. Also he says, not whither, but when will it come? He doesn't say, God, are you going to help me or not? He says, God, when is it going to happen? Verse 83, talking about that bottle. Now, their bottles in Old Testament time and New Testament time are not like the bottles that we buy today at a convenience store at a supermarket. Their bottles were made of skins, not glass, and they would hang these bottles off the edges of their tents, and so they would keep them off the ground that way. And what would happen is they'd be heating and they'd be cooking meals in that tent. They'd have an open fire. And as you know, when you have fire, you have smoke. So that smoke would fill that tent. And oftentimes they weren't ventilated properly, so that smoke would have nowhere to escape, making them dark and dingy. That's why he says, even though I've become like a bottle in the smoke, even though I've become dark and dingy, yet I will not forget thy statutes. We think about verse 84. He talks about how many are the days of thy servant. Moses writes in Psalm 90, we need to be taught to number our days. And Psalm 39 and verse 5 says, behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. Well, that's not a whole lot. And Genesis 27 and 2, Isaac said, behold, now I am old, and I know not the day of my death. Job 14 and 1, man that is born of a woman is a few days, and he's full of trouble. And James 4 and verse 14, whereas you don't know what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. Now, I'm not trying to say these things to scare you, but it is just a fact of life. When we're born, we're not handed a certificate that says, congratulations for being born on the 8th of November in such a year, you're going to pass away. It doesn't say that. We don't know. That's why we need to live our lives where we're always ready to go whenever that time comes. And notice once again, end of verse 84, when wilt thou execute judgment? Not if, but when, God. Verse 85, every allusion to the proud is arrogant, insolent, wicked, those that hate God. He's talking about they've digged pits. Now, that's digging a pit, hoping that he would fall in for his total destruction. I think about what Haman did in the book of Esther. Haman was end up digging his own pits, if you will, but he was trying to get Mordecai to fall off into them. That's the ones that have dug those pits, or the digger of the pits. And we see in verse 86, all thy commandments are faithful. Not just one commandment to follow, all 613 commandments. He says, help thou me. That's man's dependence upon God. Makes me think of a song we frequently sing there at Wood, and I'm sure you're probably familiar with it. It's called, where could I go but to the Lord? Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation sore, where can I go but to the Lord? Neighbors are kind, I love them every one, we get along in sweet accord. But when my soul needs manna from above, where could I go but to the Lord? Life here is grand, with friends I love so dear. Comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I face this chilling hand of death, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? We can go nowhere where there is salvation but to the Lord. We're going to have to draw a line in the sand here. Hope you can join me next week as we will continue reading the Word, and we will pick up Psalm 119 and verse 87.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.